Hello, welcome to Taking the Lead podcast, where we provide discussion that will motivate and inspire individuals to place themselves first on their priority list. I'm your host, Pamela Burkett Jones, career strategist, certified coach, consultant, speaker, and professor. Welcome my guest today, Richard Droschen. He's a career and job success coach, resume writing, which includes federal resumes, a U.S. Army veteran, a veteran advocate, and he's a founder and CEO of RD, an independent consultant. Hey, Richard.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Great. Now, it's such an honor to have you. And, you know, I'm going to go back into our history, which we just recently connected earlier this year on social media, LinkedIn. And it was just something about your face. And I was like, oh, gosh, you know, he's doing great things. I was like, I really, you know, like what he's doing. And then it was a post you put up that you helped the individual, which happened to be your brother. And I was so inspired by it. And I ended up looking down at your job descriptions and who you were and what you've done in the past. And I ran into a police cadet, MPD police cadet. I said, MPD police cadet. He was a cadet. I said, wow. So then we connected and, you know, I sent you a message and then you end up telling me we worked together in youth division and you were a cadet there working in the administrative office. We really didn't talk to each other. We probably saw each other in passing and it was just a full circle and it's a reason why we connected almost 20 years later. And
absolutely.
Richard, you know, wow. Just tell me how, you know, you were a cadet when I first, you know, was in your space and we first met with each other and worked mm-hmm. together and under the same roof. And then what did you do after you became, after you left MPD?
So when I left MPD, I actually decided to join the military. And it was a desire of mine at the time, prior to me even wanting to become a cadet. I wanted to actually join the reserve. And at the time, I believe it was Commander Green, when he was initially trying to start the police cadet program or restart it, I was there and I asked him about it. He said, well, you know, think about this particular program. And it was fantastic. But I decided to leave, believe it or not, the MPD because I didn't think I had the discipline or the actual strength to really become a police officer. And I figured going to the military would give me all the things I needed to be a successful cop in the future. So even though I did very well as a cadet, I recognized that there were some things I needed to improve on.
Wow, that is excellent. And then what throughout your military career, what are some of the positions that you took while you were there?
Oh,
and what was your favorite?
Wow.
Let's just go with your favorite one.
Okay, so my background was pretty much, I did supply. I was a 92 Alpha, and I did pretty much everything related to supply chain management, logistics, inventory management, warehouse. And believe it or not, that was not actually one of my favorite jobs. My favorite job was actually being selected by the brigade commander and brigade sergeant major, which is your 06 and your E8. E9. And at the time, I was selected to be sort of like their admin assistant. And during that time, I was able to really learn, you know, the politics of the military, learn, you know, decorum, learn how to actually manage deadlines and work with very, very important folks to the point that it instilled a new level of foundation for me and my skill sets. So I was able to really see things on a different perspective. When people talk about, you know, military and paramilitary organizations, that was right then and there. That was where I got to see how decisions were made and how it affects everything. From the most junior employee to the most senior employee. And that was really good for me because it taught me a lot about myself and it taught me a lot about dealing with people.
Wow. And then you it seemed like you just kept with that and you kept it, but you transitioned out of the military. Why did
Correct.
You do that?
My eventual goal was always to become a cop. I mean, to the point that I all I wanted to do was you know, go back to the police force. And it shifted. So I knew that after 4 years, got my first degree while I was in the service, because I could meet the requirements plus the 3 years of active duty service. Something out of nowhere came out and said, well, we'd like to offer you X, Y, and Z. And I took it. It was right at that moment when I first came back out with the military, And I realized, wait a minute, I'm getting a lot of requests for interviews. And I'm getting to pick and choose what I want to do. I'm getting lots of phone calls. And then, you know, and by the way, I had no help. So the military transition program at the time was pretty, I mean, no disrespect to them, no disrespect, pretty ineffective for me. And I had people crying. There were people crying in that program. I mean, the best way I could put it is you have infantrymen, combat arms folks. If you know, they're pretty much doing patrol. They're doing everything else in there, and they don't know how to sell themselves. I mean, legitimately grown men and women crying because they don't know what they're going to do next. It was at that moment that I knew I had to make a change right there.
Wow. And then you got really, really good jobs as you came out and positions as you came out of the military. And I saw, and then you decided to become a career coach and a resume writer. How did you get to that point?
Oh, sure. So I mentioned earlier that I was really good at finding jobs, and I was really good at, I was getting plenty of interviews myself. So I figured, you know what, let me go ahead and do this as a side hobby. And then it became a side hustle. Then it became full-time. Then it became to a point where it sustained itself. You know, so one of the things for me was, I am your millennial. I am the guy that jumps around. I also promote myself, and I've been very blessed and fortunate that I've actually taken on a lot of the right job. Well, let's not say that. I've taken a lot of positions where I've been able to get promoted, and I was never scared of what it entailed. So I got to a very high place for my age very quickly, and I was a finalist in a lot of positions. But now, being a little bit older, I now know why I was not picked or chosen for those positions. So in retrospect, while I was eager, you know, on the back end, I said, you know, what can I do to help people? And this is where I started realizing, I see how I can improve. Let me see how I can help people who are struggling and want to get to the next level. Let me help them out.
How many people have you helped with your services in 2019?
Well, honestly, I've had, over 380. 271 have actually been hired. About 60 have been a no-go, meaning, you know, we cut ties for whatever reason. And about another 50 or so, I have not heard back from. So it's,
okay.
So it's either they're still going, and funny thing is, that number might go down, it might not. But the thing is that a lot of my clients don't necessarily hit me back. They just change their LinkedIn, and I find out through LinkedIn that they got hired. They're like, oh wait, I'm sorry, I should have told you. So it's been an overall very successful year. You know, I've had more wins than I've had more wins than losses, but I attribute that really to the individual. And I mean, and it's also more so, well, of course, the resume speaks for itself, but really it's also about, you know, them doing the effort. And what I've come to notice is that if you don't, a lot of my clients, the ones that are successful are the ones that are patient, they work through the situation, and they're not so focused on numbers. What I mean by that is I have people say, well, I've applied to 150 jobs. I haven't got anything. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. I can't do anything about that. You know, but the thing is that it's going to take time. If you look at it as a data thing, you're going to be disappointed every time. So you need to decide, okay, what is a win column for me? I got two interviews this week. I got three interviews this week. I got one. Those are wins, because either way it goes, you're starting to get noticed. So I try to be a motivator in that regard to a lot of my clients.
Well, now, Richard, I love storytelling. And I know you got a good story, that, you know, a miracle story in there with all those clients you have, that you'll be able to just share with me and the audience of, you know, what could happen if you get that resume tight and you really seek help, or, you know, if you can't do it yourself, you seek help, how that can just get you over the fence and the hurdle.
Absolutely. I mean, like, I had a recent military client, veteran that reached out to me and was struggling for, like, I mean, he got out, it was been eight months. And one of the things was, like, he went to all those programs, all those free programs. He did everything he was supposed to. He followed all those thought leaders on LinkedIn, those people that said X, Y, and Z. So I knew by the time he came to me that he was going to be sort of like, why am I going to Richard? You know, he was already sort of like, he had an attitude with me. He was like, listen, I don't want to pay anybody for this, but I have no choice. You know, my family's suffering. You know, all I have is my disability at this time, and I don't know what else to do. So me giving you this money is really a hard thing for me. So I said, okay, understood. Let me take care of you. Let's see what we can happen. Well, and about 2 weeks later after work with me, he got hired. I'm not sure what we did that really kind of helped him, but I think changing everything from what it was to where it was going, it really sort of motivated him, and I actually coached him on how to properly sell himself, because he still had that, a lot of that military demeanor. So I could tell, even if he was getting phone calls and he was getting reached out by people, there were certain things that he might have been saying that was probably putting people off. So I wanted to make sure that we spoke about everything, we talked about everything, and he took it in stride. And it worked out. That's great.
Wow. And you know what, Richard? I really, and the reason why I do this podcast with the military and the first responders, because I do see a commonality of working, you know, the careers and you transferring, getting positions within the service or that organization or that, you know, police, fire, or EMS, where
right,
you do,
right,
it's different
right.
Once you come out into, as I say, the corporate America, federal,
very.
You know, and unfortunately, the real world, as I would say, and hopefully nobody gets offended by that. It's different when you're applying for a job, because now you got people who know you before, or maybe they have you already slated for the job, versus now you're coming and you're competing with other people. And now you have to really show your skills and sell yourself. Do you see that commonality as well?
Yes, very much so. And it's one of the things that when I speak to, you know, anybody that's been like long tenured, public service, you know, for public individuals who are in these type of positions, the EMS, the fire, X, Y, and Z, the biggest struggle is, well, I want to go do security or X, Y, and Z. I try to tell them, okay, what were you, you know, even for my officials, my lieutenants and above, you know, well, sorry, sergeants and above, that we look at everything and I say, okay, well, you manage people, you manage personnel. You could have been a lieutenant, an ops lieutenant. Okay, so really you could do anything from, you know, human capital to, you know, business operations at the higher forefront, you know, dealing with finance and numbers and X, Y, and Z. You're not limited. So there's a lot of things I try to push people, and especially like my master police officers or like my senior police officers, who all they've done is just strictly patrol, or they've trained people on, you know, on field operations and X, Y, and Z. There's a way to tell your story so you can, you know, receive other positions. And sometimes I try to, you know, tell folks like, okay, you've been out in a field for X, Y, and Z. You've become, you know, you're known for your excellent report writing. Okay. Now it might not be a sexy job. Why not go for something like a little bit outside your realm? Go be a man, office manager or administrative assistant, or go be do something that may be slightly different, but it'll give you sort of that steady relaxation that you don't have to be constantly on the go, feeling stressed. You know, just I really try to give my people a different viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then even they can see, as you've kind of mentioned and what you just talked about, is those transferable skills and the, you know, I think you called it too as well, actionable skills, where
mm-hmm,
they can actually
mm-hmm.
take, and they're not even thinking about it, that, you know, I actually recently got my resume done. It's probably about maybe a year now. My resume redone, and the person kind of pulled out things that I've done, and I've actually done it. There was no fudging to it. But I never thought about that being a position, you know,
exactly.
being a skill that I could use in the workforce.
Exactly. And that's one of the things, that is one of my, that's my prize asset, my prize baby. When I talk to the military or, you know, veteran, I mean, anybody, is bringing out the additional things that they didn't think that they qualify for, and just showing them, hey, you actually are qualified. And you actually brought up something that's pretty cool. The fact is, you're a career coach and you're a resume writer yourself, and you've done, you know, you're a professor. You've actually paid someone else to do your resume. I can't even begin to tell you that That's actually something that I respect, because I've actually had a few career coaches come to me for me to do their resumes as well. And I'm actually thinking about maybe going somewhere else, you know, and pay Buku money and see how it's like to see, you know, to actually pay the amount of money people pay me to see the type of quality work that I'm supposed to get. So, you know, personally speaking, you know, this is, you know, it's good to hear that from you too.
Well, I'm a true believer. A coach needs a coach. You know, if anyone
Absolutely.
Tells you that they don't need anybody else and they could do even from the littlest thing, everybody's always someone there that can help you move to your next level. We all don't
Absolutely.
Know the answers to everything. And like I said, who knew? And, you know, in 2008, I'm standing there freezing my buns off at the Obama inaugural parade. Could go in my resume as a, you know, it was not, of course, it wasn't me standing there. Yeah, but some of the things, the
right.
leadership things and the management that I've done in that, that's in my resume. And that's a skill that I could use to get another job. And people are not even thinking about stuff like that. They're thinking about, oh, I was part of this and I did that. And they're talking about it and they're sharing it with family and friends, but they're not realizing this also can help you to get to that next level, the next job that you're looking for. So people are not really thinking about, you know, that. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in with us. We're going to take a short break, and I'll come right back with my guest, Richard Drolson.
Are you a public speaker that struggles to get booked for speaking engagement? Do you need a killer elevator pitch to attract media attention and investor interest? Hello, my name is Precious Williams, and I am the author of Bad Bitches and Power Pitches for women entrepreneurs and speakers only. I have written this book because I want to help women entrepreneurs get explosive sales, take their public speaking and their pitching skills to the next level, and get all the attention and interest that they need right now. You can find my book now for purchase at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and also my website, www.perfectpitchesbyprecious.com.
Thanks for hanging in there. We're back with Richard Drolson. Richard, let's talk about the transferable skills again. You know,
okay.
A little bit more about parents. Do you have any more on that we failed
yeah.
to discuss?
Absolutely. So, for example, very quickly, I'm going to say that, you know, people, for example, your infantry, your combat arms guys, you know, all they think about is security, but they don't realize that with the skill sets that they have, they can do everything from logistics, inventory management, to, again, operations on another level. Now, there are a lot of things that they have done that they know they qualify for, they just don't see it. Someone has to tell them that they see it because, again, there's also different types of security. There's physical, there's personnel. There's a variety of different things that they can do. And that also goes the same thing for a police officer. Your police officer is almost well equipped for that type of job, personnel, investigations, X, Y, Z. You know, those are transferable skills. You know, when I mean transferable, let's take it outside the scope of the regular scope, research and analysis, you know, data analysis, you know, management and program analysis. Those are type of things where you actually think about the bigger picture, the improvement, the idea. Can you get to the root cause? Those are skill sets that are transferable.
And when they're actually listing their skills, is it? You know, I hear two different ways, but I hear mostly everybody wants to know kind of what you did. They don't really want you kind of repeating what the job announcements say for the description, what type of duties they're looking. They kind of want to hear some. I say meat and potatoes, you know, don't date me, but you know, they want to hear something that, you know, any type of skill, you may have manned a certain operation and there was a success. So they want to see results until you actually
right.
did something and then the results
okay.
from it. So which the best way to really list those skill sets?
Okay, so I tell anybody that works with me, whether you're a police officer, fireman, X, Y, and Z, I ask them for their performance reports. Because here's the thing. especially the military, the way it's written, it's very, you know, it's very heavy with acronyms. So unless you're military or you work in the police department, you kind of will understand that, or you won't, you know. So what I try to do is I look at their awards, I look at what it's written in their performance, you know, reports. And once I see that, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This is saying that, okay, 15K, you know, saved in X, Y, Z, blah, 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 blah. Then I need to reword it and write it differently. So what it comes down to is write it from the perspective of a civilian, not the perspective as a military individual. You will fail each time you do that. So when you talk about the type of decisions you're trying to go for, make sure you do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. Now, what are the most common mistakes you see people make on their resumes?
There's quite a few, besides like wrong, the basics, the email being wrong. I don't want to say wrong, but I'm not a fan of objectives. I'm a fan of summaries. A summary is more effective than an objective. So seeing that right away, I feel like it's outdated and shouldn't be there. So I'm going to personally tell you that I think it shouldn't be there. Let me see what else. Besides that, what do I see? Besides your common mistakes, I'm trying to think of something. Oh, mistake that a lot of people make is that they don't also tailor soft skills on the job. I can't even begin to tell you. Some people say you don't need it. I'm going to tell you, you're going to need it. That's how you push through with some of these ATS systems. People think it's all the meat and potatoes, but there's also the addition of the qualification section. That qualification section is very critical in how you actually get the job. The meat and potatoes is there, you add that. But the things, very basic things, that's excellent oral and written communication, you'll see that in about 10 out of 10 positions. You know, the organizational skills. And then there are very specific things that each job requires. If you're looking for like a data analyst job, you know they're going to talk about SQL. They're going to talk about other things. But then you go read at a research analyst, the language might be somewhat similar. So pay close attention to the soft skills and add that to your resume. I know that's not really a mistake, but it's a little bit of a different thing, you know?
Right, right. Now, when you say soft skills, like probably as well as their oral and verbal communication. So even if they have presented at a meeting or at different meetings, they should be putting that in their resume that I frequently brief, you know, the commander or the captain on duties or our functions for the day. And even some of the sergeants, if you're talking about like a first responder, if they do roll call, you know, daily and prepare, you know, roll call, giving out daily assignments for the subordinates to handle daily, you know, handle in the street,
right,
whatever,
right.
You know. So you're saying that stuff should be also listed in those resumes as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Or provide training. Okay, got it. So you got any other mistakes you can think of that, you know, people tend to put on their resume that gets them overlooked?
Not speaking to the job. You know, a lot of people will forget that, you know, when I talked about content, they're talking about, you know, they're not mentioning anything about the position or how they have certain things that aligns with the position that they're going for. So that's an actual mistake. So that's something that where I say a lot of my clients have actually, I look at a variety of jobs and I look at how it all ties in together. And a lot of them don't have anything that makes sense to the position that they're going for. So, you know, I ask them, you know, how are you going to want to do ops, but you don't have, or how do you want to do finance? Well, you're talking about a security work. And then you were a manager in the military. That meant that you had to do payroll. You had to do budget. You had to do something leadership themed, you know? So, and then none of that is mentioned in a resume. Forgetting, oh, here's one, actionable results. We talked about that quite briefly. You know, not having numbers or things to quantify you will hinder you from going forward.
Wow. And you know what? I got to ask you, because you done pulled it out of me to ask you. When people do their resumes and they apply for jobs. They use the same resume over and over again. Like you said, they apply for one position, they got the one resume, their standard resume, and they, is that a no-no? If it's not, if it's a different
really
position.
Oh man, you put me on a spot because I'm probably gonna, this is where I differ from a lot of different coaches, okay? And then, I mean, this is a good topic to really quickly discuss. I'm 50-50 on that. Let me explain why.
Okay.
I don't ever tell my clients to change their resume around, but I do change, I do ask them to go look at, that's why I always ask, look at 5 jobs that you're interested in. Look at similarities. Look at what they have, what you don't have, and add all those things for you. That's where the meat and potatoes comes in. That's how you look at everything together. So in short, I have clients that tell me I don't want to keep changing my resume around. I want you to create a resume that's solid enough that I can use for a variety of positions. I absolutely will say, yes, I can, and yes, I will do it. And I have, and I've been very successful. Now, with that being said, that's why I'm kind of partial to that. So, but it comes down to your approach. Your approach will dictate how you move forward. And if you're only looking at it for a singular approach, man, I'm sorry, it's not going to work.
Wow. Now, is it a length? Should resumes be 2 pages, 3 pages? How long? You know, I hear some people say, oh, your resume should no longer than 2 pages. Then I hear, of course, a federal resume, people have 7-8 pages long. So what is the, what do you see with all those clients?
I do 2 pages max for anybody, private sector. I try not to, unless they're going to like a academia or something like that, then I might push it to 3 at max, because it might require certain things, which has worked. Now, on the Fed side, I don't go past 5, no matter what. I don't go past 5 pages. I try to keep it very clean. I mean, I can tell you that my last few clients have been 18, 19 pages, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And they're like, well, no one's looking at my stuff. I'm like, I can tell you why.
Wow. And even after you probably looked at the 18, 19 pages, you were like, okay, some of this could be taken out and could be summed up into one thing. And it...
Absolutely. I mean, and you know what? And the funny thing is, like, you as a career coach and a resume writer, you're going to work your butt off and make sure they look good. I've had 15-page resumes condensed to 3 and have had unsatisfied clients. And I'm like, really? Like, this is, you're kidding me. We literally took everything to the point that we make sure that it explains who you are professionally and people will want to look. Because let's be real, you're going to have a millennial recruiter. You're going to have someone that's not so much junior, that's not, that might not completely understand what you do. And here you are, trying to convey your message to them. And they're really that fence, that guiding point to say, I'm going to push you forward or not,
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I mean, that's important. That's important to know. Wow.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for tuning in with us. We're going to take a short break and we'll come right back with Richard Drosin. This is Pamela Burkett-Jones, CEO and founder of Proactive Life Coaching and Consulting. I'm a certified coach, a consultant, and a trainer. I work with individuals looking to take charge of their life and become more proactive in making key decisions towards their goals and visions. Are you preparing to make a career transition and feeling stuck and unsure of where to start or deciding on your next step? Are you tired and unfulfilled in your current position or career choice? In general, and longing to change, but feel lost and clouded in making the decision for your needs. If you desire to start or do something you always wanted to do, but you stopped in your tracks and have no energy towards moving forward. Well, I help clients gain clarity and come up with a plan to support their next action steps as you move towards your desired destination in life. You can contact me at 240-682-1314 by email at contact@proactivelife.com. You can visit my website at liveproactively.com. I'm on social media and Facebook at Proactive Life and Coaching and Consultant, Instagram at Live Proactively, and Twitter at LiveProactiveL1. Look forward to hearing from you soon. Thanks for hanging in there with us. We're back with Richard Drosen. Richard, you've given us so much good information on this podcast. I just can't wait to go back to listen, and I got a few people I'm going to send this to directly, you know, so they
Thank you.
Really start getting on their way and making things happen. And at this time, I'm going to give you the floor. I need you to, you know, share more what you know about you, your business, if you got anything coming up. Just let us know. Tell us what you got.
Absolutely. So my plans are to continue to keep growing. I've really had a lot of success this year, and all I want to do is continue to focus on my clients. Just to give you guys a quick little bit brief about me, outside of being a veteran, outside of working for DC police and having both the federal and public sector, you know, I do a lot of volunteering. I'm also a Mason and a Shriner outside of my regular work activities. And, you know, personally, you know, I enjoy giving back to the community. So everything I do is based on service and help to others and support to others. So much so that even with my career coaching, I've actually acquired a few international clients this year. And one of my favorite ones came from Singapore. I have finally broken the Southeast Asia sector of the world. And that makes me very happy. I've had a few folks in Nigeria, Congo, England, of all places. So I'm very happy. So when I tell you that I bring a worldly view, I really do. And I know where to look. So my intent is really to help people get out of their comfort zone. Don't come to me if you think I'm going to be your yes man. I'm here to kind of challenge you and make you step out the box.
Wow, Richard. Oh, that's great. That's great. So now tell us give me all your social media handles and websites. How can they reach out to you?
So they can reach me out on LinkedIn at Richard Drosen on LinkedIn, on Facebook, RD Resume and Career Coaching. And same thing for IG, is RD Resume and Career Coaching. And or you can reach me at rdroresumes@yahoo.com. Again, that's RDRO resumes@yahoo.com. You can catch me there. And if you need me, I'm here to support you.
Great, great. Richard, it's been awesome having you here on the show. I look forward to us connecting, you know, and I want to do a lot more things with you in the future. And I can't wait to see what 2020 has in store for you. And I'm just proud of you. I'm just excited from that little boyish face back in the day, to almost 20 years ago, to now, you know, a man that has a goal and desire, and he's doing what he loves to do, and he's still helping people. You know, it's awesome. Yeah, awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you for joining the show today.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
And everybody, tune back in, Taking the Lead podcast, where you become the first on your priority list. We'll see you next Thursday at 7 p.m.